The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next. And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. It's early July, so that means it is time for the Secret Garden Walk, one of the loveliest annual events in the summertime here in Kenosha. It's sponsored by the Four Seasons Garden Club. It is their primary fundraiser of the year, but far beyond the point of raising funds for various good causes, the Secret Garden Walk is also an opportunity to just celebrate the joys of gardening and the way in which it is a lovely, in a sense, artistic endeavor in which people can really bring their creative gifts to bear and create unique and lovely gardens which they themselves primarily enjoy, but with the Secret Garden Walk, it is an opportunity for the community to step into various gardens that otherwise would not be visible for easy viewing. And so the so-called Secret Garden Walk occurs this Saturday, July 8th. So first of all, we're so happy to welcome back into our studios for I don't know how many times it has been now.
Quite a few years.
It is a pleasure to welcome back into our studios Linda Guttormson-Guy, who is a past president of the Four Seasons Garden Club, and she is the publicist who really helps spread the word about this wonderful event. And we also have with us a gentleman by the name of Tim Garland, who owns and operates Garland Alliance Landscape Architects and Sustainable Land Management. And he is a participant in this year's Secret Garden Walk in a couple of different ways. His own home garden is on the tour this year, and he is also someone who had a very direct hand in the creation of something called the Elder Garden, which is in downtown Kenosha, and which is also on this year's Secret Garden Tour. And that in and of itself is a really fascinating story that we will be exploring. So, Linda Guttormson-Guy and Tim Garland, we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Always a pleasure, Greg.
Thank you. Good morning.
So glad you can you be here. Linda, let's begin by having you sketch for our listeners a little background on the Four Seasons Garden Club, who you are collectively, and what the Four Seasons Garden Club has sort of been about, even apart from the Secret Garden Walk.
Sure. Well, we've been around since 1963. We're initially a group of ladies who enjoyed gardening, who enjoyed giving back to the community, and we have grown and changed and gone with the times and such since then. We no longer wear white gloves and hats to the meeting. I want to reassure everybody there. I think some friends of mine do have that warped impression, but like any organization, you do need to change with the times. One of the things that was established not so early on, the Secret Garden Walk has been going on for just over 20 years, but it too has developed over time. You know, you learn from the good things, you learn from the oops, we won't do that again, and things change over the years. But the core of the intent, our mission is to increase awareness of gardening, of ecological issues, and we assist programs like the Elder Garden, community gardens in general. We have featured community gardens repeatedly on the walk. We like to draw people's attention to what other people are doing to encourage those endeavors. So it does give us an opportunity to work with the public, to show off what these very generous homeowners are doing in their private areas, and just let people get ideas, let people get a peek behind the scenes, and let them take home an idea or two that they can apply to their property. And we like to say we've got something for everybody. There will be larger gardens, there will be smaller gardens, there will be sun, there will be shade, older gardens, brand new gardens. All of that is going to appeal to someone or maybe everyone on the tour. But it's all part of what we promote and encourage in the community.
For the sake of anybody who won't be with us to the end of the interview today, let's make sure that they understand kind of the logistics of how the Secret Garden Walk kind of works. So first of all, it's happening this Saturday, July 8th, from 9 until 3, rain
Correct.
Or shine, and it looks right now like Mother Nature is going to cooperate.
Mother Nature has been our buddy for years. I don't want to assume that she's going to be there for us forever, but we've had very, very good luck as far as the weather cooperating.
So explain the logistics of how Saturday works for somebody who wants to go on the Secret Garden Walk.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, that can always be a question. Well, how do I know where it is? How do I find it? Whatever. The ticket for the event doubles as a guidebook, and each one of the gardens is mapped out in the guidebook. Each one of the gardens has a description that has been written by the homeowner, so we get a feel for why they do what they do, why they love it, what they did, what kind of history, what kind of mistakes they made, what kind of, you know, there's an opportunity for the homeowner to confess the progress of what we're looking at now, that it wasn't always perfect and beautiful, and it's a work in progress, and every one of our gardeners will tell you that. The ticket book, it does include a rude map of the area. This particular walk is all of the gardens are in very close proximity. It's the first time in years that we've been able to offer what may be for some a walking tour, where you can park your car one time, and if you got your walking shoes on and you're ready to spend a couple of hours traveling the trail, you can do them all in a walk.
So I know that in the past, you always want the gardens to be at least in rough proximity. I mean, that it'll be a garden walk that'll be largely on the north side of Kenosha or the south side of Kenosha or the west side of Kenosha, but I think what you're saying is this year the gardens are exceptionally close together, and so literally walking the tour is going to be possible for a lot of people.
There's three gardens that are within a single block of each other. Two more that are not too far away, practically next door neighbors. And the Elder Garden is all part of that general area in Allendale. The proximity issue is something that we learned early on would certainly boost attendance if people were in a relatively close area. If you can do the walk in a couple of hours, which you can. Some people buzz through in 1 hour, but to set one garden down in Pleasant Prairie and the other gardens to be up in the opposite side of town, close to the Racine line, does not make for an easy tour for people. They want to spend their day looking at gardens, not driving across town. So, over the years we have consolidated, and this is the ultimate consolidation this year. But the ticket books are always available at a number of garden centers and florists in the area. People learn to look for our posters by at least by June 1st, by Memorial Day. The tickets are out there, so people can take a look through the gardens on paper and kind of anticipate what they are going to see and what they might particularly enjoy.
We should probably also clarify that this is not a garden tour that has a starting point and an ending point. People can kind of begin where they like. I mean, they don't even have to see every single garden if they choose not to.
Exactly. This is a self-guided tour. You get the ticket, you get the location, and you can do those gardens. You can do the entire tour. You can choose a couple of gardens that are your fall into. That's where the descriptions help out. People that that have a specific thing, a particular fondness for a certain style of gardening, they can zero in on that. And for people who will just want to generally educate themselves, it's an afternoon of variety. Yes, you can, for ease of finding the locations are numbered in the book. That doesn't mean you got to start at one and end at five. You can pick and choose and hopscotch around if you choose to. And at each and every garden, in most cases, the homeowner will be present to answer a few questions here and there. What is that plant? Where did you find it? Where did you get the idea? Et cetera, et cetera. There will be members from the garden club there also to help with plant identification, give directions from one house to the next, and generally welcome people to the event.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking about the 2023 edition of the Four Season Gardens Club Secret Garden Walk, which is going to happen this Saturday, July 8th, beginning at 9 in the morning and going until 3 in the afternoon, rain or shine, although right now it looks like it's going to be more shine than rain on Sunday. And by purchasing a guidebook that also serves as your entry ticket for five private gardens, plus something that is a wonderful addition to the Garden Club this year, the garden tour, namely the Elder Garden in downtown Kenosha. And Tim Garland is with us, and he had a very direct hand in kind of the shaping of this Elder Garden, and we're so happy that he can join Linda Guy today in talking about it. So first, Tim, we welcome you to the morning show. We're glad that you're here.
Yes, good morning, Greg.
Real quick, sketch for us kind of your relation to this whole world of gardening, because it intersects, of course, with your professional life.
Correct. My wife showed me an ad in the newspaper that they were looking for volunteers for the Elder Garden, so I immediately hopped on board because I wanted to get involved locally in the community, and I volunteered my design services for the Elder Garden, and since engaging with them in 2015, I continue to be a member-at-large board member and have been deeply involved with the development of the community-based garden.
Tell us about Garden Alliance, which is your own firm, and in a sense you were donating some of the services of that firm to the creation of the Elder Garden.
Yes, that's correct. Garland Alliance, I am a kind of a boutique, independent, board-certified landscape architect, and I provide a wide variety of services from pure design to construction management to ecological design, and ecological site management as well. So if you check out my website, we offer a wide scope of services, and I'm now in my 22nd year of private practice, but I am very grateful to be involved with the Elder Garden.
So tell us what you know about the creation of it. In a sense, the genesis of it, even though I don't think you were there right from the first day, but it sounds like from very early on, you had a hands-on role in it.
That is correct. It was started by Holly Stoddard, who was with the church at the time, and Janice Erickson. They were kind of the impetus to get this off the ground. And then I entered the scene and put together a master landscape plan that was based on the raised bed plant community. And the ultimate mission is to, you know, have a premier raised bed community for gardens for seniors age 55 and over, promoting health through gardening, social interaction in a park-like setting, which is very, very important. So when I designed the gardens, we not only wanted to have the folks in to do their gardens, but I also wanted to create this park-like setting. So the gardens themselves offer great opportunities and educational opportunities for the people to explore. We do have, we've got rain gardens, we have hugel gardens, we have a spiral herb garden, we have a newly installed gravel garden that we installed this last March that is very, very exciting. It's based on a German gardening tradition that dates back many, many years. We have fruit trees. We have a Martin house. We have butterfly houses. So the gardens are evolving. We have food forests as well. So the gardens continue to evolve. And what I really like about this, Greg, is that typically community gardens really lose their drive 3 to 5 years afterwards when the changing of the guard occurs. But we are now in our 7th growing season, so I'm very, very excited about the future of the gardens.
Yeah. So for someone who's never really seen one of these up close, and particularly for those who are too young to need such a thing, explain this concept of the raised garden and why that can be, in and of itself, can be a really helpful concept for people of a certain stage in life.
Yes. So we do offer a variety of raised beds, Greg, and anywhere from 4 feet by 4 feet to 4 feet by 8 feet. But they are raised, meaning that they are approximately 32 inches high. And this is ideal for older folks that have difficulty getting around. And we do have people that show up with walkers, and the ease of gardening is very, very appropriate and helpful for them. And then the other thing is that raised gardens originally originated in France. And what the raised garden does for you is that it elevates the soil. So in the springtime, the soil will heat up quicker. And then in the fall, the soil will be warmer, so you get a longer gardening period.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. So as Mother Nature withdraws her warmth, these gardens, in a sense, can sustain themselves a little bit longer than those that are just down in the normal ground.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct.
And so these elevated gardens are, in a sense, up on stilts.
Actually, there some are on stilts. We do have the V gardens, Greg, and we do have full 32-inch deep gardens that are full of soil. So
all the way down to the ground.
All the way down, right.
Wow, fascinating.
Yes.
So when you thought about creating this sort of park-like atmosphere, what kinds of specifics did you have to kind of think about in terms of what should go where?
Excellent question. Well, being that it is raised beds, we do have to take into serious consideration the movement of the sun, and we have to make sure that the gardens are in full exposure to get the maximum amount of sunlight. In addition, we provided fruit trees around the perimeter of the gardens, but these are all dwarf varieties, Greg, so they will not grow big and shade out the gardens. Mm-hmm. Any shade trees in the park-like setting are located around the perimeter and to the east of the raised garden bed areas. And ultimately, these will provide shade. We do have an existing maple tree at the east end where we had a Eagle Scout do a project, and we have a council ring under that tree. So it's a wonderful gathering point, and we do have nice shade down there. But yes, you do have to take into consideration the sun factor. Mm. Very, very important.
So who actually is doing the gardening with these raised beds? And is this something you pay for the opportunity to do it or rent them? Or
yes.
First come, first serve?
There is a nominal fee to rent the gardens for the year. And we actually have a waiting list of people that want to get additional gardens. Now, we have talked as a board about incorporating additional beds. However, at this time, it's not in the picture. And but the majority of our residents are from the Lakeshore Towers area.
Nearby. And are most people raising flowers or raising vegetables or a mix?
There is a wonderful mix, Greg. There are actually several fairy gardens that one woman has taken it upon her own to incorporate fairy gardens, which attracts the kids, and we invite the children to come down, and we do see a lot of families down there. But some of the gardens are pure vegetables, all vegetables. Others are a wonderful mix of flowers and vegetables. I have a small garden down there, and all I am growing, Greg, are potatoes, fingerling potatoes, which I just thoroughly enjoy.
Yeah, fantastic. Linda, explain the connection between the Four Seasons Garden Club and the Elder Garden, because Tim early on mentioned, or maybe you did, but somebody mentioned that you have been supporters of this project. In what way?
Financially. And just in terms of making general awareness out there in the community, and radio programs certainly do add to that. But the fact that that they had reached a point where they were ready to open their gates to a little publicity and the public tour, it fell into our timing this year. And we were very, very happy to have been supporters of their efforts from the beginning, and to actually be able to sponsor their introduction to the public.
It's kind of an unveiling in a sense.
Well, it we were kind of looking at it that way. Yeah. You know, what can we do to help? Well, gee, we just happen to have this tour. Would you like to participate?
Yes, yes. Yes.
It's a wonderful connection.
Right, and we recently received a grant from Four Seasons Garden Club, which we are grateful for, and that money went for site signage. So as you come down to the gardens, you can learn about Hugo Gardens. You can learn about Gravel Gardens because we have a narrative signage program. And then you can learn about some of the plants of the gardens and learn what is edible and how to harvest. And we are very, very grateful for the Four Seasons Garden Club to get us involved.
Yeah.
Well, it went all the way back to Holly Stoddard?
Holly, yes. Stoddard.
Yeah, did a presentation to the club. We're always looking for presenters, people who have hobby gardens, people who are professionals who want to share their expertise with the garden club. Holly came and gave us a presentation. We were hooked.
Yeah, with good reason. With good reason. Tim, you were mentioning that one of the things that is of most acute need is volunteers. And that might come as a surprise to people who think that, well, the folks who are renting are doing this gardening and that's all you need. But obviously beyond that gardening going on, there is a lot of work to be done by volunteers. What kind of work are we talking about?
Well, Greg, we do we have the weeding, and who likes weeding? Not many people, but there's a lot of weeds. We have an issue with bindweed on the site that we've gotten under control. But there's spring cleanup. There's fall shutdown. There's also trimming of existing plants, detailing of the beds. So, yes, we are all in excess of 60 years, so we would like to encourage and look for younger volunteers. And we do have a sign-up sheet at the kiosks at the gardens, so you can sign up for volunteer, and whether it's just an hour or two a week, or if you want to visit us 2-3 times a week, we are always looking for volunteers as well as new board members.
Fantastic. For those of you just joining us, we're talking today about the Four Seasons Garden Club and their Secret Garden Walk, which is coming up this Saturday, July 8th, from 9 until 3, rain or shine. And one of the most interesting additions to the Garden Walk this year is the opportunity to come and visit the St. Matthew's Lakefront Elder Garden, the address right there on 4th Avenue. And but there are 5 private home gardens that are also part of the tour this year. And actually, we'll circle back to Tim in just a couple minutes to hear about his own garden, which is part of the tour. But Linda, let's talk through the other gardens that are going to be part of this. First of all, the garden of Nan Mellum on 5th Avenue, when I read the description, one of the things that leapt out at me is the QR codes that are part of her garden. I mean, there's a serious gardener for you when they're thinking about those kind of details. So tell us more about Nan Mellum's garden.
Well, Nan is a member of the Garden Club. It's It's not necessarily necessary that you belong to the garden club to be on the tour. In fact, it's rare that we do have member gardens that show up. But Nan has a different approach to gardening. She is very technically savvy, which there's the QR codes, but she's also a very ecologically based gardener too. Mm-hmm. As you read on, you realize that she uses no chemicals on the garden. And, well, just a moment aside here, I was a little concerned the other day when I realized that the cracks in my ancient cement driveway have been nurturing all sorts of weeds and such. And as I looked at the weeds, I realized that what I was about to cover with Roundup to get rid of them, those were the same weeds that Nan was putting salad dressing on.
Ah.
She literally does harvest certain varieties of flora not save the plants, but to contribute to her own diet.
Yeah,
and there are them. and she gives some asides there in her in her write up that there are, you know, specific varieties that she will harvest, that she will freeze for other uses, and just her very natural approach to gardening is something that we seldom see on the walk.
Right.
It's also a relatively shaded garden, which we don't see often. So when Nan volunteered her garden, we were all over it.
Mm.
And
I assume she'll be there to answer a lot of questions
about
what she's doing.
She will be very happy to share what comes from scanning those QR codes and Nan's personal information, too.
Fantastic.
There will probably a couple of other members of the garden club will be assisting her that day. But you're going to get some information from Nan that is something that you probably haven't considered coming from your garden.
Another garden on Fifth Avenue. I like how the headline mentions a phrase you already talked about in terms of all these gardens, namely a work in progress. I mean, almost all gardens to some extent are a work in progress, but that apparently is especially the case with Carolyn and Keith and their particular garden. The headline is Grand Plans to a Work in Progress, and it kind of touches on the fact that our grand plans sometimes go by the wayside.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Guilty is charged. You move into that beautiful piece of property and you can, oh, and then I can, and I could this and whatever, and you know, time and effort and finances and everything comes to play, and you do end up scaling down, and maybe some of that grand plan has been created, and maybe some of it has been modified, and this couple has done exactly that over the years. It's a relatively small space. In fact, I will mention a number, the majority of our gardens on the tour are smaller spaces, your basic city lot, if you will, and what people have done with them. It does give you a feeling of variety out there, what can be done.
Right, as I was reading about their garden, I couldn't believe all of the different elements, and in a water element that's part of it, and they talk about how she loves the sun and he loves the shade, and you find kind of both of that, and yeah, that's a garden that especially intrigues me. And,
yeah, the grand plan may have been set aside at some point.
Right.
But the art of compromise is very much in evidence here.
There you go. I love that. Well, let's turn to our other guest, Tim Garland, for the next garden, because it's his. I mean, actually, a garden tended by Tim and his wife, Elizabeth. And Tim, it sounds like you have done a whole lot of wonderful and varied things in your garden. I guess given what you do for a living, that shouldn't be too big of a surprise. What do you want to tell us about this particular garden?
Well, it's as everybody has been saying, it's a work in progress. However, I'm getting near the end. But the front has a understated, more traditional feel that's appropriate to the Mediterranean style of the architecture, Greg. And but then as you get into the back unfolds into a just a wide variety of little, as we call it, vignettes. So you really have to pay attention to the gardens in the back because there is a lot of stuff going on. And as I say and tell my clients, you know, plants like to be with one another, and they like to be touching one another. And so rather than having plants on display, I have mosaics of ground covers, shrubs, ornamental trees that just kind of entwine with one another, providing just a riot of color. And believe it or not, green is a color. So we will have pops of color with annuals, but then we will have lots of texture and variety and layering. And then also we have these wonderful destination points in our gardens, not only in the front but in the backyard. So as you look around and walk around, we have destination points where we will sit and gather and enjoy the garden from different perspectives, and then also enjoy the home, because after all, the home is a part of the garden and not vice versa.
Yeah, well put. I like how in the description you talk about proceeding from that more formal front yard to the backyard, which is less manicured. And that's a nice turn of phrase to describe that.
I have a very unmanicured garden.
Yeah. We actually have clover coming into our back garden lawn area, Greg, which, you know, in the old days, clover used to be incorporated into lawn seed mix. Why it disappeared, I don't know. But, yes, we haven't used chemicals for years, and we embrace the infiltration of the clover.
And one of the things you talk about is when you create something that in which there is so much there. I mean, you say it well, the diversity creates a beautiful mosaic that is so dense that, at least to a large extent, the weeds don't have a chance. I mean, what a concept.
Yes, absolutely. And if I do mulch my garden beds, it's with organic compost, because the shredded hardwood mulch, I prefer to have the plants grow together, and then you just minimize the weeding.
Yeah.
No question about it, Greg.
Wonderful. So that will be the home garden of Elizabeth and Tim Garland, and a very special treat on this year's Secret Garden Walk. Nan, the garden that is on 3rd Avenue is a, the gardener describes it as a reinterpretation of an English garden, which sounds very intriguing.
Well, it finds that our gardeners draw inspiration from just about anywhere and anything. And Marcia drew her inspiration from a tour she took to various garden areas in Great Britain, and came home with plans for an English garden. Well, sometimes English gardens happen, and sometimes English gardens get Americanized along the way, and what we have here is a hybrid. Hmm. So, yeah, there's she's done a lot of work with, you mentioned, placing planters and such around. So every area is not necessarily a vast bed of flowers and such. There may be a shrub, an area of shrubbery that has some potted, some mixed pots with a variety of annuals and such. She mentions starting a lot of these plants in the under the grow lights in the basement. Again, something that, you know, someone may take that idea home with them and start their own garden from seed next year. So she can share some of her experiences there, both in England and on 3rd Avenue in Kenosha.
Back here in the good old U.S. of A.
Right.
The fifth and final garden intrigues me very much. Crystal and Steve Miller, apparently downsized in quite dramatic fashion back in 2019. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that several of the gardens are relatively modest in scope and size, but it sounds like they made the most of it and have created something really wonderful in quite a small space.
And this particular garden is the one that I will be spending my time at on the day of the walk, and this is the one garden that I have not seen yet. I'm going entirely by the description on this one too, but I, like you, I'm intrigued by this. Due to some health issues, I was not able to be part of the choice of gardens. We do that as soon as this garden walk is over, we start looking at gardens for next year, and I was not out and about and able to do that, and this one I totally missed, so I can't wait to see it myself.
Well, in particular, the horseshoe shape in which it's essentially built really intrigues me. That sounds like something really lovely, and it sounds like what they had in mind was something in which enjoying each other's company is really facilitated by that kind of shape.
It strikes me that this is something that speaks to the homeowners and how they enjoy interacting with people and inviting them into their little horseshoe by keeping the one end open and accessible. And the concept of that design was perfectly fitting the property that they ended up purchasing. And I can't help but think that in selecting that home when they moved into the city, that the horseshoe garden concept was already kind of in the back of somebody's mind.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm quite intrigued by that. So, Tim Garland, tell us about that challenge of when someone is working with a really small space, and what are the ways in which that can actually end up being a really lovely, fertile opportunity, if you will, to do some really special things when space is at a premium?
Yes. As I term it at times, Greg, less is more, and with small spaces, you really have to distill down the overall concepts of the design and layout. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a diverse plant palette in there. You just have to think spatially that it needs to be in relationship to the scale of the home and to the surroundings. So small spaces are wonderful, big spaces are wonderful, but yes, in the city environment, you want to create a garden setting and utilize and maximize all of the space within that garden space. And as I said earlier, the home is part of the garden. And at the Miller home, they have some really fun stuff going on. I have been in that garden several times, and she has now started to collect a collection of conifers. So she's actually created almost a small-scale pinetum in her yard. You will thoroughly enjoy it.
I did not expect you were going there.
No.
So what you're saying about working with the small spaces, your concept in your own home of these vignettes very much comes into play there.
Yes, without a doubt. But the overall theme is very strong. The hardscape is very simple and clean. But then the vignettes are these scenes that you see as you walk through the garden, not only this Saturday, but also throughout the year. Mm. So I have plant material. For example, I have a Korean spruce that the new growth in springtime is bright yellow. You will not see that at this time of the year. Mm. And then early spring, I'll have the big German bearded irises with the big allium balls going. But again, you won't see that this time of year. But the butterfly bush is starting to come into its own. The hydrangeas are starting to set bud. And so a lot of things going on.
Wow. And what about yesterday's rain? I should think for all of these gardens, that yes. was a much, much needed refresher. This has been a tough year for gardeners.
Yes, it has, Greg. The springtime has been extremely cool for us, and then we had a very early week of 80-degree weather, followed by a week of 30s that just set in rust and other mildew problems. And then for my own garden, for example, I like to do a lot of tropicals in my urns, and typically I will overwinter those tropicals in my garden at my office at the Kemper Center. However, they did not bounce back like they normally do, just due to the lack of rain, humidity, heat. So you have to go to plan B then.
Right. And of course, yes, back to the work in progress and thinking on your feet, compromise, creativity, and of course the result is nevertheless some wonderful gardens, and in some ways we appreciate them even more this year because of the adversity which gardeners have had to contend with. So, again, the Secret Garden Walk of the Four Seasons Garden Club is coming up this Saturday, July 8th, beginning at 9 o'clock, running until 3, a self-guided tour. And with the guidebook in hand, you take yourself to these five private gardens plus the St. Matthews Community Elder Garden. So, Linda, tell our listeners where they can find the guidebook if they want to purchase their tickets to be part of this.
I would love to tell them. We have a group of ticket outlets that have been available to us over the years, and just rapidly, you have Stein's Garden and Home on Green Bay Road in Kenosha, Suburban Garden Center up on the north side, 30th Avenue, not too awfully far from your studios here, Sunnyside Florist and Gifts, longtime florist here in Kenosha, and Summer's Garden Florist is downtown. Anton's Greenhouse and Garden Center on the far south side of Kenosha into Pleasant Prairie on Cooper Road, and out in Paddock Lake, Westosha Floral all have our tickets for sale. You can also, if you check our website, which is fourseasonsgardenclub.org, that's the numeral 4SeasonsGardenClub.org. All of the home addresses are listed there, and those tickets are also available at each and every home on the tour.
So you can show up at one of the gardens and purchase your ticket there.
Purchase your ticket and off you go. However, tickets are not for sale at the Elder Garden because that's a freebie.
That's a bonus.
That's your bonus garden. There is no charge to enter the Elder Garden, and we hope you will include that on the tour and enjoy it. And one more stop that you might want to consider at Kemper Center is the Margaret Meyer Memorial Garden, which is a open to the public space that is maintained by the Four Seasons Garden Club, and we've been doing that, I hate to guess how many years, but we have a wonderful relationship with Kemper Center, and that's kind of our little showpiece garden.
Wonderful. A great, lovely little garden, and a fitting memorial to someone who cared a lot about beauty. Tim, where will you be on Saturday? At your home or at the Elder Garden?
You know, Greg, for the most part, I will be at my home, but I will be bopping back and forth to the Elder Garden as well.
And if people are intrigued by the possibility of volunteering, how can they connect with you to volunteer?
I would say the easiest way would be to email me, Greg, at garlandalliance@gmail.com.
Garlandalliance@gmail.com.
Correct.
Great. Tim Garland, great to meet you today, and
pleasure.
Thank you for offering all that you did in this conversation. And, of course, Linda Gatormson-Guy, thank you for your passion for this wonderful event, and thank you for being part of the morning show today as well. It's always a treat to talk with you.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Tomorrow on the morning show, out of the archives, actor Alan Arkin, much renowned and much honored actor who recently passed away. I had the privilege of interviewing him some years ago, and we're going to be resharing that conversation in memory of Alan Arkin. The occasion of our conversation was a discussion about his memoir called An Improvised Life. Improvisation was very important to Alan Arkin as an actor and artist, and our conversation includes exploration of that intriguing theme. So tomorrow, Alan Arkin will be